Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, Jackie Cation here. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's November or December of 2022. You're about to listen to the Dork Forest. My name is Jackie Cation. The website's, of course, jackiecation.com, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you enjoy a determiner. Anyway, November and December, I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest, that instead you donate to your local food bank, because it's a nice holiday kind of wintery thing to do. And if you don't know where your local food bank is, you can go to feedingamerica.org, or you can Google the words that are your town's name and the word food bank. Hey, sarcasm. JackieCation.com is where everything is linked. Like if you go to dorkforest.com, you can see all the notes and it'll link you to the YouTube videos for the Dork Forest and the and Apple podcasts, and it's on Stitcher. It's on all the things. Anyway, so JackieCation.com will link you to everything. Dork Forest will link you back to JackieCation.com and to everything else. There is merch. If you have some sort of holiday wish to purchase a Dork Forest t-shirt, the logo is now on a black shirt with the logo in that bright green that the Ranger t-shirt used to be. Sold out of the Ranger shirts, discontinued. Also, I have some stand-up shirts that are squish t-shirts. If you wanted a Meat Shield t-shirt, I have limited sizes left, but that's still a benefit for to help immigrants and anti-racism stuff. So if you want, go look around JackieCation.com store for your store needs. I also have a new album out that's playing almost nowhere. That's right, because of legal issues with something called Spoken Giants. Very disappointing. So the special itself is on YouTube, on the 800-pound gorilla YouTube channel, linkable off of JackieCation.com. You could also get a DVD or a CD at JackieCation.com. The CD itself is listenable at places where you can buy it. So at Apple iTunes and at Amazon Music. You could also stream it there. If you buy it, I make more money. But if you want to stream it, do whatever you want. But it's not on Pandora. It's not on Spotify. It's not on Sirius XM. And neither are my four other albums. But do whatever you want because it's your life. There we go. What else is happening? I'm touring. I'm doing a lot of stand-up on the road. Feel free to come. Feel free to sign up for the email list at JackieCation.com. Harder to get on because you got to find how you put it in then to get off, which is you scroll and hit unsubscribe. But all of these things are available on JackieCation.com. I'm coming to do stand-up probably near you, if not near you, near someone you love. Tell them. Anyway, let's dork out about something. Let's get into the show. Oh my gosh, Jackie Cation. It is I, Jackie Cation, Ranger of the Dork Forest, in the Dork Forest, with a new guest, Matthew Patrick Davis, a man with three first names. Welcome to the program, Matthew Patrick Davis.
Hello. Thank you, Jackie.
All right. And Matthew Patrick Davis is spelled like all of those words would be spelled. Matthew, two yeah. T's. Patrick, one T. Davis, no T's. And it's at Matthew Patrick Davis. And you are in, you're currently in a new movie on HBO Max called Barbarian.
That's right. It was in the theaters like a month ago in the actual real life movie theaters. And it was number one in the box office.
What?
Isn't that incredible?
That is incredible.
And then now it's in on HBO Max and on digital.
There you go. And that's called Barbarian. So you can go watch Barbarian. That. Is it about a barbarian? Is it about Conan the Barbarian? What is it about?
It's not Conan's not in it. Barbarian or O'Brien or
Conan
any
O'Brien.
Of the Conans.
Conan O'Brien is not in it.
I wish he was. That'd be funny.
That would be.
Yeah. No, it's a horror movie. I play a character where prosthetics are involved. I'm unrecognizable. But I play a scary person.
As the handsome young man that you are in front of me, this is not what is portrayed in the movie Barbarian.
Often this industry is like, cover up that face. We don't want it. We don't want to see it.
Who's got a face for radio? This one, right here. Anyway,
exactly.
So, and you also have a musical that might be happening. If this goes, it's on November 29th.
That's right.
So that is a Tuesday, and that is when The Dork Forest comes out. It comes out on Tuesdays. It
Synergy.
Could be this Tuesday, this very day when this drops, or it could be a week from this Tuesday if it drops on the 22nd. I can't remember. So, but it's,
you either have notice
it's a musical
or
here in Los Angeles at the UCB. Is it the one on Franklin or the other?
Well, the other is dead.
No. Did it not make it?
Yeah, because of the pandemic, it didn't make it. The New York ones didn't make it. This is the one on Franklin is the last UCB standing, and it's just reopened like a month ago.
Oh my gosh. You guys, go to Franklin and Gower and go to the UCB and hand them what is probably $10 to $20 maximum and watch the musical. What's it called?
So this is a musical that I wrote in the before times, and we're taking it back post-panny.
No,
we're still in it.
Post-lockdown. Post-lockdown. That's what I like to call it.
That's how you say it. That's how you say it. And it's a musical about pun competitions, which are a real thing that exist, and the musical is called Pun Off.
Oh my gosh. Of course it's a real thing that exists.
Yeah.
And
Can you guess where those things exist? They exist in Austin. In Brooklyn.
I was going to guess Australia. Did you ever see Strictly Ballroom? Anyway.
I did not. Are there a lot of puns?
No, but it seems like a weird dork. It's like a celebration and embracing of the weird. And much of Australia will do that, except for, of course, the horrible parts where there are bad people. They're everywhere, you guys, is what I'm saying. Australia isn't perfect. It's pretty great, though. It's pretty great. Matthew Patrick Davis, your dorkdom is a musical dorkdom. So everybody who's got them, get ready to smoke them. We like to play a little drinking game whenever there's a musical, because I don't know who anybody is. Your musical guest is Bjork.
Right. She's not the guest on this show.
Nope.
Just to be clear, I don't have her here.
I looked her up because all I remembered, swan dress,
sure.
Musician.
Yes.
Iceland.
Yes, correct.
That's what I've got.
That's right.
What else is happening?
So, yeah, let's turn this dork forest into a Bjork forest. Let's put umlauts.
Matthew Patrick Davis wrote a show called Pun Off, you guys. Yes, a Bjork forest. I might just call the episode Bjork forest. It could happen.
Exactly.
All right.
With umlauts. You got to have umlauts and put them all over your name, too. And over my name.
Dot, dot, dot. I'm going to put an ellipses after all of things. Okay. Bjork.
So what do you listen? Do you not listen to music?
I don't listen. I do listen to music. I'm not a monster, but I don't listen to whatever Bjork's producing.
No. And I didn't mean to conflate the two, but you were saying it's a musician. Therefore, I don't know about it.
Oh, here's my thing. I buy an album once every 2 years, maybe once a year. And it's a variety of different things. It could be anything. Sometimes it's the hippity hop. Sometimes it's a musical. Sometimes it's a guitar rock. But I don't know who anyone is. For example, Joni Mitchell. We did an episode. My first question, is she still alive? Yes. Yes, she is. Jay-Z. My first question, who is Jay-Z? Not the question Dwayne Perkins was looking for. He was like, the many questions I thought you'd say, that wasn't it. So Bjork, is it electronica?
She is like experimental electronic music, but also real life instruments are also involved.
And with the, is there lyrics?
And she sings. She's a beautiful singer.
Okay. Is there a hit that I would know?
I think maybe her most well-known, are two of her early ones from the 90s, either Human Behavior or Oh So Quiet.
Okay. I can't play any of them just because it would, that's 4 minutes and 15 seconds. I like a song that has some meat to it. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the olden times before, the ADD or I don't know.
And I will tell you this, is that what I usually also do with musical guests is I ask for you to make, and I would say Spotify, except for that I don't like Spotify right now. They've taken all of my albums away. And Pandora was the one who took them all away. Spotify took just the current one away.
How dare they?
Lawyers are involved. It's not my fault. But here's the scoop. put it on Spotify or Amazon Music, which I use. I know, again, not a hip thing to do, but I accidentally signed up for it one time, and $7 a month, it's theirs. So a list of, I think it's 8 songs of Bjork, your 8 favorite Bjork songs. Would you be willing to make me such a list?
Oh, sure. Right now? Later.
Later, for sure.
Like, maybe I should have done that before the thing, and then we could like talk about it.
A lot of people would have given you, and I have previously sort of said, come up with your 5 favorite albums or your 8 favorite songs or your 3 favorite scandals. I don't know. I never know what to do with musicians. Is she scandal ridden? I don't know.
I don't know. I think she like punched a paparazzi person, but who hasn't, you know?
Who hasn't wanted to? Were they in her face? Were they in her business? Did they have a nose problem? Were they on the Erie Canal? Were they in the Eiffel Tower?
I think they were in her face, yeah.
Not cool. Not cool. She was trying to live her life, probably.
If it was Eiffel or nose canal.
Right. What are you, the police? Is what I like to say to people. Get out of my face. Anyway, so so when did you start liking Bjork? Has been around for some time, this I know.
Correct. So my first foray into Bjorkdom was seeing the movie she was in. It was a Lars von Trier movie called Dancer in the Dark.
Okay.
And this is a movie musical.
Oh, I love a movie musical.
Do you?
Yeah. Is it scary though? Or is it?
It is deeply sad.
Unlikely I'll watch it, but I will love to hear about it. Dan, yeah. What year did it come out? Like 80s, 90s?
90s.
Okay.
Dancer in the Dark, when did it come out? 2000. That's not the 90s.
So close though. And and it's a sad musical?
Yes, it's deeply sad.
Wow.
But it's the structure that I now hold as like the perfect structure for a musicalized movie, for a movie musical, because I don't know how you feel, but I feel like you go to stage to see a Broadway show or a musical, people start singing, you're like, yep, that's normal. That
yep.
should occur.
Yeah.
But when people start singing with a camera on their face, sometimes it's a little off-putting or it's a little strange. Sometimes a movie musical has to like ease you into it.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or they have to justify why the character is singing with like a little magical realism or something like that. So the way that Dancer in the Dark does it, so Bjork plays a woman who is losing her eyesight. She is slowly going blind. And she also loves going to the old movie musical house, like seeing the old like black and white movie musicals from the 40s and 50s or whatever. I don't know.
Right.
And so that is her escape. And then as she loses more and more contact with her physical world by losing her eyesight, she escapes further and further into her fantasy world. And basically, anytime something horrific happens in her life, she like disassociates from the horror of her existence into a musical.
Oh my
God. And then there's a musical number and then it slams back to reality. And then
she has to deal with whatever's happening in real life.
Yeah, exactly.
So and, does it go from black and white to color? This is a quick question.
No.
I kind of wanted to, but I understand why they wouldn't, because it's 2000. They don't need to. You get it. Some of the stuff is dream sequence. Some of it's real. We're all sophisticated consumers. So does Bjork start
it? Really just goes
it?
From, yes, and then, yeah, and she wrote all the music. And a lot of the music, she does this anyway in her albums. She will sample real life things and turn those sounds into instruments. So in this, so for instance, the first time that it becomes a movie musical, the first time that you're even aware that it is a movie musical is like 40 minutes into the movie. All of this has already been established. There'll be little times which she like, so she works in a factory.
Okay.
And so there'll be little times where like the sounds of the factory will start to like turn into maybe a beat.
Yeah.
And she'll start to escape. And then, you know, the boss will be like, hey, focus. And she'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then finally,
you're packing herring. Get in on it. Okay.
Exactly. And and they also set up how the factory is very dangerous. Like, don't do this or the things will break or people will die or, you know.
Is it set in current times or is it set in old times?
I think maybe it's set in current 2000.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. There we go. All right. Because you would have thought there would have been a union. That's just, I'm just curious about factory safety.
Exactly. Well, and also, where does this take place? I don't know.
Oh, Iceland, I should imagine.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right.
I don't think it does.
You don't think it does?
I forget,
but,
though.
Okay, so, but that's kind of cool that the sound of the factory becomes music around her.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then, so when it finally kicks into the first song, like, yeah, it's the sounds of the factory that start going like,
right, right.
And then she starts going, ah, li, la, la, and starts singing along to the music. And then the fellow factory workers start like grabbing a mop and start dancing around, and everyone comes to life and it turns into this full musical thing. And then meanwhile, she's done the bad thing that you're not supposed to do, which is take your eye off of the thing that can break a machine or whatever. And she almost like, someone almost loses their arm, you know.
Right.
So it just like slams back to reality where she has daydreamed.
She's right. And, yeah. And it's a factory job, so there's no reason not to. You're making tar waffles. It's boring.
It's a little boring. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it just like it gets sadder and sadder from there. A lot of horrible things occur to her. Like she's trying to, what is she trying to do? Raise money to like send her son. Oh, she thinks that her son's going to become blind because it's a thing that is past
genetic or
it's a genetic thing, whatever degenerative eye thing she has. So she's like saving money to pay for his eventual surgery or something. Her friend's husband, he steals that money because he really needs it.
He needs that money.
Then eventually, I mean, this is spoiler alert, who cares? It was 2000.
Right.
But she does end up kind of accidentally, but kind of not killing this man.
And Dancer in the dark.
Over his corpse, the record is kind of, you know, when a record is played out and then it just kind of is going.
Yep.
So that starts like a little beat of a song, and then she like starts singing, and then the corpse wakes back up and she like is singing like, I did what I had to do, I'm sorry. And he's like, it's okay, you did what you had to do. And then like, but then it of course slams back to reality where she has to deal with killing a man.
Yeah, yeah, that's not ideal.
And then she goes to court, and the little pencil sounds turn into a beat, and she sings, and Joel Grey from Cabaret shows up and he does a tap dance on the table. And then she goes to prison, and then she is sentenced to death. And then as she is walking up the stairs to her final, hanging.
Yeah.
Her steps.
Also a
start
tune.
A beat. Also a tune. Also a tune. She sings a tune right up to her. And then she's hung. And then that's like the end of the movie. So like I said,
well,
it's deeply
sad. I'm
so glad
she wrote the music to this. Here's my question. Does she leave her son some money? Is there anybody? How old's the kid? Is this an adult man?
No, I think he's like 10.
Ugh. Okay, this is some poor planning on this. Granted, Bjork in 2000, I think, was 34 years old.
Okay.
So, because I was looking, we were about the same age. And the weird thing, it's so, she might have been 36, whatever. But So, did you ever see Moulin Rouge?
Sure.
That is another sad sack of a musical.
Yes.
Where as soon as, you know, our courtesan with a heart of gold coughs up blood, you're doomed. But
anytime you cough blood in a movie, that's not a good sign.
Yeah, yeah, this is a sign.
No one recovers after coughing blood in a movie.
Not in a movie. No. That's not just going to be a bloody nose, it turns out. That's going to be
in real life.
Tuberculosis.
People cough blood and don't die in real life. Apparently.
For reals.
Sometimes.
Not myself, recently, and let's knock on wood. But.
Good. Me too.
Okay, so that was your introduction to Bjork.
That was my introduction, and I was entranced by the music. I really loved the music. And then I went back and I listened to, I think at that time she had put out 3 albums. So I went back and listened to those 3 albums.
Okay.
And then her fourth one that I also love, I think came out the next year or maybe 2 years later. So it's really those four albums. And then there's the soundtrack called Selma Songs for Dancer in the Dark. That was also a very good album. So those five albums I have the most emotional connection to.
Okay. And to your knowledge, is she still writing, performing, and putting out albums?
She released her 10th album this very year, probably a month ago.
Okay. And so in those, does she do sort of a lot of that found instrumental stuff?
Yes. Yes. An example, she did an album called Biophilia, which was like just based on like the stars and Earth and everything. She's all about concept albums. Like every album is a concept album.
Okay.
From the record design to like what she is wearing on the record to what she wears on the tour to the design of all the music videos to the instruments that are used. So in the tour for Biophilia, she played a literal Tesla coil.
Okay.
So there is a song where they somehow connected a keyboard to a real Tesla coil.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to her show live, you would see a Tesla coil on stage and a piece of a song is going.
And it's just lighting up the coil or?
Yes. And real electricity is firing off.
Wow.
And creating a sound. And somehow they pitch that sound. I don't know how they do it.
It's the showmanship too that you really like about her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's a whole show. It's a whole production, right? It's not just like you can sit around and listen to the album. Do you end up listening to the whole album because it's a concept album, or are you pulling songs out? Okay.
Yeah, it's a good front to back listen. All of them are. Yeah.
Okay, and that's essentially her first five albums are your faves.
Are my faves, yeah. Although, also the sixth one. So the sixth one is called Medulla, and she made an entire a cappella album. But it's not like a college a cappella group. It's
picture me disappointed. I actually like a college a cappella group.
You were so intrigued. And then
I was like, nope, it's not that. It's not the Pentatonics, Jackie. weirdo. Anyway, so what
this
is
a weird, weird version of that. And so basically like how she sampled found sounds in other things. Here she would sample, you know, the human voice, but turn it so it sounds like a keyboard. Or she got this like a really good beatboxer, Rozelle, to do a lot of the things. And,
okay, to work with.
Yes, and but a lot of it you would think that instruments are being played, but really it's just she's sampling just someone going ooh, and then she's playing it on a keyboard. Ooh 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 ooh. You know.
Okay, but with her voice.
But with her voice or other people's voices.
Looping it all together. And this sounds like a very much a studio album. Have you ever seen her live?
I've seen her live a couple times.
Okay.
And she specifically.
Are you wearing a Bjork t-shirt?
No, I'm wearing a Overlook Hotel t-shirt.
I saw that K, and I was like, oh, I wonder if he's wearing a Bjork t-shirt.
I don't have a Bjork t-shirt. So
something to
look
for.
What kind of Bjork dork am I, huh?
Well, it's you came up with Bjork Forest, so you're pretty good.
good.
So anyway, so how is she? So live, that's got to be. It's got to be looped. It's got to be sampled. It's got to be brought in from ahead.
Yes. So that a cappella album, she never toured live, I think, because, it was fully a studio album. But, she will reinterpret and then reinterpret her own songs. So, like, the aforementioned Human Behavior, which was on her first album debut, is a fully produced track. But live, sometimes she'll do it with, like, a single accordion player and her voice, or like a single harpsichord player and her voice, so do like a really pared down version. Or like the recent tour I saw this past February, her ninth album was like flute based. So it was like 12 flutes. And so she had a lot of flute players on stage, would interpret her old songs with flautists. Exactly.
We are reminded of the word flautist from Lizzo in James Madison's Crystal Flute. Do you remember hearing about that? It was about 3 weeks ago.
About Lizzo?
Yeah, about Lizzo and the Crystal Flute. I didn't know what it sounds like, a Disney movie. Lizzo and the Crystal Flute. Yes. James Madison, slave owner, founding father, owned a flute that is in the Smithsonian, and it's made of crystal. But it is not like crystal quartz that has then been carved out, which is what I thought when I heard crystal flute. But it is crystal like when there is blown glass. And they call it a crystal goblet, a crystal chandelier. It is a crystal flute. And then Lizzo played the crystal flute and twerked and got down, I understand. And and there was backlash from what can only be called idiots. So white supremacists, terrible people who gave a damn.
Wait, but she got the actual one from the Smithsonian?
Yeah. Nobody knew James Madison had a crystal flute, and then all of a sudden they're all mad about it. You're like, you've never even known. But that's when I was reminded of the word flautist. So
never forget the word flautist.
It's very hard. My brother Russ plays the flute.
Really?
Yes. Currently, he's taking flute lessons again. He played it in high school, and he's decided in his twilight years to go learn to play the flute again.
Oh, good. How's it going? It's sometimes hard to learn something that you used to know and then be reminded, I don't know it anymore.
I think he's having the time of his life. He's having a good time. Yeah. Talk to me. So her ninth album is flute-based? Flautist-based?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Utopia. I was just listening to... So she, this year, leading up to her 10th album, released a podcast where each... episode is one album. And so it's just a limited series. She just released the 9th podcast about her 9th album.
Wow.
And and she was talking about how, it's so funny to listen to her talk about music. She's like, the previous album was all winter, lava, terrain in Iceland, no plants, all the melodies were lying on the ground, you know, lethargic and paralyzed. And she's like, but this was all in the air because there was no gravity and no rocks. And so there's no bass and it's all air and the flutes.
Wow.
I don't know what accent I'm doing. It surely is not Icelandic.
It's not Icelandic, but it does have that sort of groovy vibe. I've been to Iceland. And let me tell let me tell you about Iceland.
Tell me.
There's nothing in Iceland, but there used to be, and there's sort of this existential, it feels like an album cover. The entire country kind of has an album cover vibe. Everyone was very nice. It was very polite. I was in outside of Reykjavik, right by our hotel. We walked out to go, and it's dark, 9 months of the year. And they like to take hot springs. They don't have any electricity. By the way, they have electricity, but they don't have any electrical bills because all of their the electricity comes from the hot water. The heat of the earth creates electricity, and they have lights, they have action, they have power, and it's amazing. And then they all take giant hot baths together in swimsuits, and it's a delight. But
did you do that? And did you then they put white stuff on their face? Why do I see pictures of people in hot Icelandic baths with like white stuff on their face? Why
that
do I see
that? It might be sunscreen. I'm not.
Oh, is that what it is?
It might be.
Because you can get sunburn.
What I do know is that we went in the summer, so it was light all the time. So it was 11 o'clock at night, and we were looking for food, and nothing was open because they're not monsters. Everyone goes to bed. But there were two 12-year-olds sitting on the roof of a grocery store.
Spooky.
Yeah, weird. Because it was like 10:30 at night. They were sitting up there, just two tiny boys up on top of of what looked to be like a Quonset hut, kind of, but like a, like a Cub Foods or whatever it would be called, right? And I yelled up to him, is that grocery store open? And one of the kids said, no, nothing is open. And then the other kid goes, we speak English. And then I said, yeah, you do. You're doing great. How is your English? And the one kid goes, fuck you. And I said, 12-year-olds the world over. It's a delight. I was like, well, you know that word. And he says, he didn't mean it. So it was like that. So they were, It was a weird, it felt Bjorkish. It felt like a Bjork kind of story.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they be a weird people?
Right. They're in the dark all the time. Then they're in their light all the time. And
yeah. And they have access to free electricity. Things are, you know, and it
their
was
lights are fueled by water.
Right. They like to bathe together. They're very social. And the other thing is I was told after I'd left, thank God, that the food to eat in Iceland is some sort of fermented shark. That's their signature dish from back before they had electricity. And if you wanted to eat a weird food in a country, and I never did, I'm like, what do you do well that, because I did ask, I said, is there any sort of traditional Icelandic dish? And I was told that I should try the meat soup. Meat soup. Do you know what we call it here in America, meat soup?
What?
Soup. It's chicken soup, beef soup, beef vegetable soup, whatever.
Yeah, the meat
lamb,
is beef.
Lamb stew. It was like, it's kind of a, whatever meat.
Your normal meats. Your standard meats.
Nothing,
not sharks.
No,
not fermented sharks.
Not fermented sharks. Not even fish. It wasn't even a fish soup. It was just a soup. I tried at two different places thinking, well, maybe I missed something. And they were just good, perfectly lovely bowls of soup. Matthew right. Patrick Davis, I have weeded off, of course, as per usual, but I want the Dork Forest to know that I'm talking with Matthew Patrick Davis, and it's spelled just like that, and it's at Matthew Patrick Davis on Instagram and on YouTube, and he's on a movie right now that was in the theaters, but it's on HBO Max now, and it's called Barbarian, and on November 29th here in Los Angeles at the UCB, his musical, Pun Off, will be on the stage, and you should go to that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll tell people things. What the heck?
Yeah.
So is Bjork, what instruments does she play? Do you know?
I like her main instrument is her voice. But she does write a lot of her own music. She has collaborators, but I think she's very skilled with programming. She's very skilled with a laptop. I think she describes making almost like the vocabulary for an album, like the beats or whatever, and then sending them to someone who will make the beat. But she is like finding the sounds and creating all of the sounds, like the palette.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she collaborates with people that sound pretty interesting themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And lately she's been more vocal about just like the misogyny of the business and how oftentimes when she'll have a male collaborator, oftentimes the male will be listed as the writer and she'll be like, I was very involved.
Turns out I was there too.
Yep, that's
and,
right.
It's hard. When you work in the industry, you think to yourself, well, the whole industry is kind of, it's a difficult industry to go into. So you don't really notice the misogyny. You're like, well, no, everybody's having this problem. And then you notice that you're like, to different degrees. And but it is, the problems are, everyone has them, but the degree can be slightly different if you have different parts. So what?
Parts.
What can you think of a favorite song? What are your, let's try and build that list. What the heck? We have 25 minutes left.
Oh boy. You're right. Time does fly.
It does. I was just wondering.
Yeah, I would say Yoga or Joga. It's
okay.
J-O-G-A.
Okay. That's a favorite.
Yeah.
Which album is that one on?
Homogenic.
Wow. She does a one word name of an album. She likes.
Yeah. They all might be one word.
Yeah.
I think.
It's her third
debut
album.
Fossera, Homogenic, Medulla, Post, they're all one word. Yep. You're right.
There we go.
She loves a one word. Utopia, Volnicura, Volta. Yep. Vespertine.
It's got volcanic beats. Does that sound
that
right?
That's
what Wikipedia's got her back. That didn't work.
On the third podcast where she talks about that album, she talked about how she's like, I wanted volcanic beats. And, you know, and truly, it kind of does sound like lava. It's like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I am curious about the lyrics. Is she singing in Icelandic or English or any known?
She is singing in like Bjorki English.
Oh, it's Bjorki English.
That's right. She'll throw in some Icelandic every now and then, but she has a very particular way of speaking English. Let me see. Like in I laughed with let's see, Volnakuro, that's one of her albums. Some of the song titles, even, just to give you an idea. Stone Milker, Lion Song, History of Touches.
Ooh, History Not of Touches. Get. Why didn't she name her album History of Touches?
Because it's three words.
Three words. She doesn't have time for the other two. On the albums, it used to be, and sometimes still is, if you get a CD, which nobody ever does but me, they have the lyrics listed. Or I suppose you can go to lyrics.com or whatever and get the lyrics. Can you sing along? I have got to hear some Bjork, clearly.
Right. I can, but I've today when I was thinking about it, I actually realized when I sing along, I sing syllabically almost.
Right.
But for instance, this yoga thing, this yoga song I was talking about, I was just looking at it on the piano.
Okay, if you play too many beats, they'll take it out of YouTube.
Even if I play this is a cover.
Right.
Here, I'll give you an example.
I'm going to look up yoga lyrics while you play it.
Yeah, that's right. All these accidents that happen follow the dot. Coincidence makes sense only with you. You don't have to speak. I feel.
Oh, yeah. This will not be available on YouTube. They'll just blank out that spot. Guys, go to yoga.com, Joga. And listen, it does sound pretty though.
Yeah, it's pretty because she'll incorporate like beautiful strings and in addition to the volcano beats.
There is a hum from your.
What happened?
I hear a Bjork-like thing in the distance.
Oh, really?
I think it's the hum of possibly the instrument you were playing.
Little piano? The piano is silent now. Let's see.
It is now gone. There was a wind. I want to turn that into a song.
That's right. Sample it.
Sample it. Take it off. Send it to Bjork. So did she wear a swan dress? Did she wear a dress that had a swan coming out like right next to her? Kind of like a parrot?
Exactly. Little parrot on her shoulder, little swan. That was for Dancer in the Dark. She went to the Oscars because I think she was nominated for the music, I think.
Oh, I believe it. Here's some hardcore... Emotional landscapes, they puzzle me. Then the riddle gets solved and you push me up to this.
Yeah. State of emergency. How beautiful to be. State of emergency is where I want to be.
Well, that's kind of cool. Like this is poetry.
Yep.
So it's poetry to her. She's just like weird ass, awesome, found instruments.
Yep.
And making essentially, is it a, what is noise music? Is that something else?
I don't know what noise music is.
I don't think it's this then. I think I gotta have a noise music dork on.
She maybe dabbles in some noise music, maybe, but most of her stuff is very melodic. Although her most recent album that just came out like a month ago, I was like, oh man, I remember when she liked songs. You know, a lot of those tracks were kind of noisy.
Okay.
Like some of them are just like, and you're just like, please stop.
Right. I mean, it is kind of great to put on that sort of, it's not ambient, but it feels like it's part and parcel of the cityscape, right? Or the landscape out in nature, if it's those kind of songs. And mm-hmm. you can work to it. You know, it's easier to work to than if you're listening to Dolly Parton. Or for some people love to listen to Dolly Parton at work. I don't mind a little 9 to 5, but
sure. But except the thing is that her albums, she'll have beautiful songs, and then some songs are just a true nightmare.
Just out of the blue. She'll be like,
yeah, so you're working and then you're like, I feel unsettled.
Yes, I'm unsettled. You're about to be unsettled for 4 minutes and 5 seconds. Let's do this. And you're like, how do I find Skip? And because there's an arc to it. What is the arc to the album that was Yoga, that Yoga was on?
That was, yeah, so the aforementioned Volcanic Beats.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Yeah, it was that, yeah. And I think that was about, she was in a place where she was like touring a lot, and so that was just something to be like toured in big, big stages. And then her following album was the opposite of that. It was about like tiny, tiny micro beats, and like she would use like a deck of cards as percussion, or like it was like music boxes and harpsichords and little things that you can find at the house, or like a harp.
Plink, 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 like the mouth harp. Plink, plink, plink. You ever see a mouth harp? Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I always think plink, plink, plink. But it's if it's time to dance, you gotta ba-ding, da-ding, da-ding. You gotta really
ba-ding.
Pick it up.
Yeah,
Can you dance to Bjork?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. Especially her earlier albums, some of them were explicitly made for like dance music or the dance hall or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm excited. I wanna hear I'm looking forward to the 8 songs, quite honestly.
Okay.
Because I once saw a musical that was all steel, like those oil drums and sticks, and they people
what,
beat
stomp?
On. It wasn't
stomp?
Stomp. It was some
the Blue Man
stomp,
Group.
It was a stomp knockoff, or it was something that was like stomp wasn't good. We're gonna make it Soviet because it had for some reason it had a Marxist vibe to it, early Soviet, not 80s Soviet, but I think I saw it in the early 90s, and okay. Southern Theater in Minneapolis, if anyone ever gets a chance to go back in time. Don't do it. It was loud. Anyway.
That was a trend back then. That was a trend with stomp. And then there was like, bring in the noise, bring in the funk. And then the Blue Man Group came out. And that was a trend.
There was a trend. And it was a lot of, it felt industrial, the music.
Yeah.
And I do tend to like either something more melodic or if I want to get, like, some people enjoy that kind of heavy, that heavy vibe. Like, heavy metal itself has that zzzz with the, when the guitar all has that one sort of zzzz. And
distortion.
What?
Distortion.
That's the word. It is distortion. And it's not what I'm looking for most of the time. I'm trying to get something done. And it's hard to concentrate.
The world is full of enough distortion.
Right. But
you're looking for clarity.
It's sort of like when people do see horror films, they get something cathartic out of it. And I know I used to listen to very political, angry hip hop back in the late 80s, early 90s, to get mad and to sort of fuel my anger. And then a friend of mine was like, you need music to get mad? I'm mad all the time. And I was like, oh, shit. But I do kind of like, I still kind of like political songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you're not mad all the time?
No, I'm not. I'm not mad all the time. So if I want to get my mad on, and sometimes I go back and I listen to the KRS-One or the Bruce Coburn if I had a rocket launcher. Nobody's listening to that song. Anybody else 50? 50 years old? Anyone? Anyway, so, but the, yeah. So what do you think? What else do you love about Bjork? I'm trying to find something specific, but I got nothing. So let's go big.
Oh boy. Well, on the topic of okay, here I'll give you a twofer because this can this is like a barbarian fun fact and Bjork fun fact combo pack. All right.
Okay.
So so as I mentioned, I play a prosthetic. Scary person.
Right.
And in talking about with the director about what kind of sounds this person would make, the director and writer, Zach Kreger, he was like, so remember that viral video of the cat that could talk that went, oh, Don Piano. Oh, Iasia. If you know what that is, you know what that is. And
right.
Then, and so he's like, obviously not that, but just something off, something weird. And And I was like, where have I heard like off weird sounds? And then I thought of Bjork. And on the aforementioned a cappella album, she has an Inuit throat singer on a lot of the tracks. And there is one track that I have to skip because it turns into a full on nightmare. And
don't send that on the eight, please.
No, I will not.
Okay.
and this, yeah, this woman basically is like,
oh, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
Does she do a nicer version on a different track? Is she got a better vibe?
On it, there is actually a different track that is more of an up-tempo bop, and you hear her in the background making her sounds, and it's delightful.
Oh, good. Yeah, maybe. And maybe you put that on the eight. Maybe
I could.
Yeah, it's always nice to have representation. It's
I will only put the most accessible songs on the eight because she is a spectrum of accessibility, and it seems like lately she is trying to actively be inaccessible.
She's like, I don't need you nerds liking me. You really got to nerd out to like me. Or she went through something and sometimes you change, you know, and the art that you put out, like how long have you been writing music and theater and this type of thing?
When I was a kid, I wrote my first song, I Don't Play Basketball, because I'm tall, I'm 6'8", and I don't play basketball.
Are you 6'8"?
That's right.
We are on Zoom, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't seen a pair of shoes in 3 years. So you're 6'8".
That's right. So I think that has to do with me playing scary people in movies.
They're looking for a tall.
They're looking for someone with a freaky body.
But you also, so you didn't play basketball. And I bet there was a lot of chitter chat asking you, why not?
Yes. Well, the coaches in high school, they knew I was a theater boy already, so they didn't pressure me. But it is often a topic of conversation amongst strangers in general on the street. Although the older I get, it's getting less and less. But truly, at a point, it was like daily, multiple times daily, just shouted across the street, hey, do you play basketball? How tall are you? You know, and I'd be like, no, I don't. And they'd be like, what a waste.
What a waste.
Human life.
You ever see Victor Victoria? Because the correct answer is, it wasn't wasted. That is the correct answer.
I don't know that reference. It wasn't wasted.
Because you can lift up, you can pick up things that are up high. Right? You didn't waste your height, right?
At first I thought you said that are up high. That are a pie. No, that are up high. Yes.
Yes.
I can.
And if you enjoy pie, you could also reach a pie that was up tall. A pie.
Yeah. A high pie.
And in Victor Victoria, there was, I believe, Victor Robert Preston plays a homosexual. And a woman says to him, what a waste. You're so handsome. And he says, I'm not wasting it. It's not being wasted.
It's
not being wasted or something. If it's any consolation.
That's good. I like that.
Yes, it's a great line.
Robert Preston from The Music Man.
From The Music Man, which I have been listening to that soundtrack a fair bit right now.
Recently? Why right now? Because did you see it on Broadway?
No, my brother Russ did, who's playing the flute. He took his oldest son. I think against his will, but I think that Eric had a good time in the long run. For Eric's birthday, Russ took Eric for his 25th birthday to see The Music Man in New York City. And
It helps when it's Wolverine. It helps.
It does help that it was Hugh Jackman. Mm-hmm. And but Russ enjoyed it. And he wants to just go back and go see. My brother Russ, so far, is the straightest gay man in the whole wide world. And but he is a delight about he did an episode of The Dork Forest about Hallmark Christmas movies 2 years ago that if anyone wants to go back and listen to that episode, there's a spreadsheet. He's an econ professor. So there is, in addition to how much he enjoys the craptastic Hallmark movie, there is also information about what they how much they cost to make. Anyway, so. Has Bjork done other acting? Because of how great that was?
Well, famously, she, after Dance in the Dark, was like, that was a horrible experience. I went there, I put myself through the trauma of the character, and I felt it with my entire body, and I never want to do that again.
And did Laurence Olivier come up from the grave and just say, why don't you just act?
Exactly. Next time, try acting.
Yeah, just... that's too bad that she... It's hard to understand how to act if you don't go through the whole process of going to acting school and learning from other actors that it isn't real and you don't be it.
Yeah, I mean, and some people that are trained actors do put themselves through that, but I could also see someone that isn't a trained actor being like scared that they're going to screw it up and just like, I just need to do everything possible, so I'm going to destroy myself.
Right. You're just like...
She was in The Northman, which was a movie that came out about like old Vikings and stuff. And so she added her like Icelandic Viking heritage cred to that movie.
Nice. Well, she will add cred. I would think that you would want to add Bjork to any movie to add cred to it.
I think so too.
As she could maybe be a judge on Law and Order. Yeah. I think that it'd be a really cool cameo to have Bjork on. There is that very famous writer who plays a lawyer, who often plays a judge on Law and Order episodes, and it got her a pension. I got her an actor's pension, so I can't remember her name offhand, but someone's yelling at their iPod. You know, your old-timey iPod when you listen to a podcast.
Right. Exactly.
I, by the way, am talking with Matthew Patrick Davis of the UCB, and it's at Matthew Patrick Davis on Instagram and YouTube. And if you like Bjork, I want everyone to email me and tell me what I didn't ask, because that's the thing. We're coming. You know, we have probably another 5 or 10 minutes here, and I'm wondering, what don't I know about Bjork? Is she? What do you know about her family life? Is she one of several siblings? Is she an only child? Are there any memoirs? Is there an autobiography? Is there a Behind the Music? What's happening?
She has kids.
Oh,
wow. I don't know her sibling situation, but she does have kids. And she talks about a lot of the process of having kids and of motherhood in these podcasts where she discusses her albums. She described actually that album that used the human voice. She was just like, when I was breastfeeding, I just felt like, how did she say it in such a, like a Bjorky Icelandic way? But it was basically just like, just being in touch with just her body, obviously.
Right.
And so making a album just made only with human bodies was part of that. And she had a song called Mouth's Cradle, which is about breastfeeding.
Okay.
And in kind of a humorous way, she says it's a humorous way, but like, man, what are the lyrics to that? Because they're really weird.
Well, I have to say that Jenna Friedman, stand-up comic, and great, has been talking about how she has been breastfeeding and how dumb it is.
How dumb?
Yeah, it's just like her nipples are cracked. It's super, super painful until it isn't. Right?
Oh.
Like it could take 2 or 3 weeks for it to really like be more like natural and for it to figure out you and the baby to figure out how to actually make it happen to the point of like bleeding nipples and trouble. Right?
Yeah.
And you're going through postpartum depression and the kid is still sucking all of your energy literally out of your body. So what was it?
Mouth's Cradle. And these teeth are a ladder up to his mouth. These teeth are a ladder that I walk, that you can walk too if you want.
Oh my God.
This tooth is warmth-like. Yep.
Wow.
She repeats that 3 times. This tooth is warmth-like.
Yeah. I need a shelter to build an altar away from all Osamas and Bushes.
I guess she's getting political.
right there. That one pair, that one chat, that one, it's called
it took
a stanza.
Hard turn. Sure.
It did. It was like breastfeeding. I'm terrified for my child is yes. what that last stanza seems to say. She's like, let's get this kid away from your Osamas and your Bushes.
Well, and she talked about that in the very podcast I was listening today. She talked about living in America for 40% of her life and how and why she got away. She was like, it is a place of violence and I could not square it. I would be like, with the school shootings and stuff, I'd be like, how can I take my child? What happens if something happens? And the answer was just, and she framed it also in like, again, misogyny. She was like, the answer was kind of boys will be boys. You know, just a shrug. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm from Iceland where there is no army and there is no violence.
Right. That can't entirely be true, but it's also 250,000 people in the entire country.
Yeah, exactly. But so, that little kid, that 12-year-old said, fuck you to you. And that's kind of violent.
Well, it's certainly antagonistic. And yeah. But worse has been said. And so she lived here in the United States. Was she married to a U.S. citizen, an American?
I forget. I think he's a European artist. I forget, though. And then they went through a tumultuous breakup and she made an album about it. And then it was funny listening to her talk about that album where she was like, am I going to make a fucking breakup album? And of course, it's the most Bjork-y breakup album ever. It doesn't sound like a breakup album. It's, you know,
right.
Only in her way.
Oh, my God.
She is uniquely her.
She has two children and they got divorced. They were married for 1 year, but she has two children.
But they were together for like 20 years.
Okay. And it is electronic dance music. It's also called alternative indie, jazz, and rock.
Okay. There is one song that is jazz influenced, Oh So Quiet. I think that's maybe why.
Okay. Oh So Quiet. And then there's Army of Me,
mm-hmm.
Atopos?
I don't know.
Atopos? Venus as a Boy.
Yes.
That's great. I don't want to hang out with Bjork. This is much, I mean, I think that Bjork probably knows herself pretty well, that she's probably super interesting and kind of fun. Maybe now, but she sounds like a lot of work. In 1987.
She seems very intense.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. She seems like she would be fun to like just listen to talk because of the way she phrases things.
Right.
But I don't know if she would be interested in having a conversation.
Right. She feels just reading a couple of the lyrics makes me think definitely a poet.
Yes.
Definitely a poet and definitely, you know, and when I get these 8 songs, I think that I will appreciate the art of the music. It'll be kind of cool if I get into Bjork. I'm always interested if I find out that I'm like, oh, well, it turns out I'm listening to that now.
Right. Has that happened recently?
I don't
know. For me, it is more difficult as time progresses, it is more difficult for me to get into new things.
Right. I think I tried to listen. There has been, you know, Amazon Music will suggest things.
Yeah.
And I think that Bruno Mars, is that correct?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Silk Sonic is the current album that I have purchased. And
it is
a delight. It is
yes, it's
very
delightful,
funny,
dance,
very smart.
Poppy, fun music.
Yes. If you like to get high, he has the haze. If you're hungry, he has fillets. I thought for a long time he was saying, if you're hungry, I have the Lays, as in potato chips. Because I thought that would have been funnier. But fillets, of course, classier offer. And so I don't know. I wonder if I will. But I do look forward to this. This will go up in November. And hopefully people, if they live in Los Angeles and they enjoy puns and any sort of wordplay, they will go to UCB for the musical Pun Off, Michael, Michael, again, Matthew Patrick Davis. He's 6 foot eight, you guys. Matthew Patrick Davis. You'll recognize him. He will be the very tall one. That's on IG. That's on Instagram. That's on YouTube. Matthew Patrick Davis. Barbarian's the name of the movie on HBO Max. If you're still into scary movies in November, which people are into scary movies all year long.
Sure.
And thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a delight.
All right. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?